I want to welcome everyone. Today is Monday, March 14th, 2022. My name is Ann Kelly, and welcome to the Deeper Conversations coaching class. This is week two. We talked about trust and safety in week one, and you had a coaching session last Wednesday. And this is the second Monday of our eight-week class. And today we begin our first conversation around the ICF Code of Ethics. And we will continue that next Monday. I'm very happy to be joined by Diane, Christine Harding, Paulina, and Christine Rabaja. I have everyone. Okay, we are ready to start. Do we have a volunteer who would be good enough to read our class agreements? And we read the entire page last Monday because it was our first class. From here on out, we'll just read the top half. That looks like that.
I will.
Oh, thank you, Paulina.
Sure. Okay. Deeper Conversations, seven class agreements. Confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to audios of the classes. Number two. Positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. Number three, hold the space. We agree to listen without interpretation. Number four, presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Number five, beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Number six, self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. And number seven, coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgments are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participant. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Paulina. And this is always my intention. Will you give me a sign, a sound that you will add your intention to mine to be mindful of these agreements? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And Diana, thank you for your note. In the chat. Thank you very much. I try to pay attention to names, and I'm, of all things, dropping off A's in this class once last Monday and today. And my name starts with an A. A's are good. So thank you, but it's thank you. I want to get names correct. I'm just thinking to, you know, you ask somebody, oh, what was their name? And you go, I don't know. I met them 6 months ago and they told me their name then and I don't remember. And I'm too embarrassed to ask. Get it right.
Okay, just one funny thing is,
please.
I didn't write anything in the chat.
It was me.
Oh, sweetheart, thank you.
I was trying to be on the download for the both of you to not embarrass either of you. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I thought, you know, I thought, okay, I turned Paulina into Pauline, but no, it's two ways. Uh-oh, it's an AA meeting. All right. I'm fine. We'll have all our A's going. And Myrna, welcome. We just started. We just read our class agreements.
Great. Terrific.
I put an N in your name, Myrna.
It rhymes with Sarah. It's like the Irish surname O'Mara. I don't know if you know anybody with that. So like... that's the easiest way. It's like O'Mara, but yeah.
I like Mara like Sarah.
It's like Mara like Sarah. Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. Because I'm in an I can use all the help I can get mode with that. Thank you. Welcome.
And thank you.
Make sure I've got yes on the attendance sheet. So speaking of attendance, you're keeping your own attendance. Of course, I'll keep attendance as well. And this gives me an opportunity to make sure everyone got better guidance than I had last Monday. I was conflating a couple of classes I do and going, are we mentoring? Are we training? Are we CCE? And then my brain blew up and that was the end of that. So Jamie was good enough to send an email that I hope each of you received. I think that what came out Tuesday, last Tuesday. So the let's talk first about how many classes to attend live. And Julie probably covered this Wednesday, but just in case anyone was not there. In the Deeper Conversations class, we hope you will attend as many as you possibly can live. It's better. It's more interesting. We get to hear from you. We learn from you. It's a fuller learning environment. So we hope you will attend as many classes as you can in person and live. And the Deeper Conversations minimum to receive the credit is 50%. So that's dropped quite a bit. So if you've signed up for 24 hours, you'll want to attend at least 12 of those live. And again, we hope you'll attend as many as you can. And that even includes maybe you have to miss the first 20 minutes for any reason at all. And you think, can I join? Yes, absolutely. Of course. Now, if you're joining on a Wednesday, we'll ask you to be quiet. Fortunately, we don't have bells and whistles going off when people join, but just keep Wednesday in mind that there is coaching going on. But yes, join us if you can. So any questions on recording and then showing evidence of that, there is a place on your attendance sheet. I looked at my attendance sheet. I hadn't looked at yours. There's a place on there to mark you attended live or you listen to the recording. So those were two of my Fritzes. Yes.
Did you get me on the attendance list? I didn't hear it. I didn't, just want to make sure.
Oh, about the attendance list on your attendance list, which
but
is-
Did you get me on yours today?
Oh, do I have you on, I do now. Thank you, Ann.
Okay.
Yes. Hey, check that out, make sure. 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes. But when you account for, if you need to miss a class, you'll annotate on your attendance sheet that you listen to that recording. Any questions on the percentage of classes required to attend live or how to annotate that? Okay. Very good. Thank you. Next, we have no one joining us for the first time. That will happen sometimes. We'll have someone new. Next, I'd like to get our volunteers for Wednesday. Wednesday, we will have our live coaching. And that is Wednesday, March 16th. So there's an opportunity for one coach and one client. Who'd like to volunteer? Christine, do you have a preference?
No preference, whichever.
Either one?
Yes.
Thank you. Who would like to be coached or coach this Wednesday? Mara.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm happy to be coached this Wednesday, but I don't think I'm in quite coach mode this week.
So, Mara, did I hear that you would genuinely be okay being the client?
Oh, absolutely. I'd probably benefit from being the client this week.
Good. Okay. All right, and our coach will be Christine H. Thank you very much. And I think I'm with you this Wednesday. So I'll see you again on Wednesday. Thank you both very much for volunteering. All right. Okay, so we have quite a bit to cover. Before we start though, I'd like to get a feel for your experience with ethics. And I'll leave that deliberately open. Excuse me. You may have actually designed learning modules. I suspect some of you around ethics, you may have presented on ethics. You certainly, when you renewed your credential or initially applied, you agreed to the pledge at the end of the code of ethics, that you agreed, I'll be basically bound by this, adhere to this. And I understand the ICF will help me with that in many ways. But I'd like to hear from each of you, where would you put yourself on a scale? I will start just as, here we go. First of all, just to reiterate, yes, attend today and next week, you have fulfilled the requirement for 3 hours of ethics training. That happens every time you renew your credential. You don't do the 3 hours and then renew and renew and renew, and it's never required again. I think that's great because, as you'll find, it's such a big topic. It's such a huge topic that training for a minimum of 3 hours every 3 years will help us all out, I think. So your attendance today and next week will fulfill those 3 hours.
I have a quick question because I hope I'm not the only person that can get a little confused about interacting with the ICF on this stuff. So you're talking about this three, is this a new thing? Is there a new 3 hour requirement? And is it, I feel like I just did it. I'm kind of confused about this.
Mara, thank you. That is a great question. That is great. It came out either 2015, 2016, I believe. Is that right, Diana? Does that sound right to you? It was around there because I hopped in an ethics class in 2015 because I had to teach ethics. And I thought, whoa, I better understand this. So the first class I took was in 15. And it was right around then. It may be that, and I'm totally guessing here, and I don't get paid to guess, but it could be that initial coach training took care of that. And then when you applied, you already had that ethics training, and then it would be one renewal 3 years later, and you'd do that ethics training again. So you may have only had that once so far. I wouldn't want to guess, but I do know that it is required of every ICF certified coach every 3 years to have 3 hours of ethics specific training.
Good Lord. Okay. Every 3 years.
When we renew our certification, we enter in there on March 14th and March 21st, 2022, I completed 3 hours of ethics specific training through the, and you may, I don't know, does it say who? Probably the Deeper Conversations coaching class.
Okay, yeah, great.
At least two or three years ago, you used to be able to take it for free online I don't know if that's still available, but it was a hassle and a half, which is why I'm paying for the 3 hours this time this way.
Well, I didn't even know about, like, I am like always the last, and I feel like I kind of don't track, but what I appreciate about taking everyone's time here is I want to know what I write down, and then I keep on this ICF, what the heck document that then I refer to, because, but you're saying when we renew our membership, which to me has historically basically been, oh, that's right. I guess you need to send in like, here are my hours. And then they say, oh, and you need this many of 3 hours of ethics training. Okay. Because they just had me renew my membership.
Yes.
But that's just sending them money. So then 2 days, 2 hours, at some point they're going to say, renew your membership. And we need.
No. No,
and you're the confusing difference between membership and certification. It's screwball.
Exactly. Yeah. Membership is every year.
And that's just money. That's just like, give us money. Okay. Or we're going to pop you off the system and then you're going to really suffer.
I haven't gotten that chat message, but that
no, but that's basically the gist. Okay. So I'm so sorry. One more thing. So, okay. This isn't about membership. This is not about membership. It's about, you have to renew your certification. Is that what you said? Every 3 years?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, this is important. And look at everything has changed.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's the tip. That's yeah. I want to coach me on the ICF because I seriously need to always like try to be like calm about it. So every 3 years, this is what we need in terms of, we have to prove again that we're a coach and we have continuing education credits and we have 3 hours of ethics training every 3 years.
Yes. So here's how I view it. And this helps me because I frequently use the word new when I should be saying updated. So I want to celebrate the fact that the ICF is updating the competencies that were written sometime around 1998 or so. Were you there, Diana?
1995.
Mm-hmm. Are we happy these have been updated? Has technology changed since 1995? Mm-hmm. How did you coach in 1995? I wasn't coaching in 1995. So there's so much to celebrate in that we are growing as ICF professionals and our regulating body. This is a big, important chunk of ethics that I be able to say to people, I am regulated. I have agreed to a code of ethics. I do abide by that code of ethics. I get specific training on that code of ethics every time I renew my credentials, and I am bound by that. That's what, to a large extent, what differentiates us from someone, and I don't mean anything malicious, but they just said, you know, I think I'm a coach. I feel myself coaching. I'm a trainer. I'm a facilitator. Why not a coach? Are you bound by a code of ethics? Oh, what? So we are able to say this to our clients, our sponsors, and those we want to work with. Here, let me tell you about me and my credentialed self as a coach and what I abide to. And it'll self-regulation is important. I'll go on more about that, but consider, do you want your state? Do you want your country? Do you want the Better Business Bureau regulating your coaching? So far, we've been able to say, talk to the ICF.
I can tell you is I do.
Yeah.
I'm a former lobbyist. And to me, if we want to make more money and have our profession be taken seriously, we want to be regulated and we want to have to be licensed and bonded. But the ICF does not lobby on that. They're not down there asking for it.
Well,
FYI. So sorry, gets me off on that. But yeah, no. We talk. Yeah, they want to have a strong trade association, which is fine. But they don't go to the next step, which is lobbying state by state to get,
Thank you, Mara. Thank you. So I'm glad this comes up because why the specific ethics out of everything? Why not confidentiality? Why not one of the, why ethics in specific? There's so many areas that this moves into. So this is a great start. Mara, thank you for starting us. I'm going to ask, I would like to hear from the rest of you. Just give me a little nugget. Where would you put yourself in terms of ethics background? And I'll share mine and then tell you where I think I am. So I took a class with Tina Elliott, if you know her, because she was part of the ICF ethics, I think still is. Had a class in 2015, 5 weeks, I took that. I've taken the online course, and yes, Anne, it is still there, and it's been updated. That we're gonna see that ICF course in ethics. So yeah, they did put the requirement, and they also created the content for that. I volunteered last year with the ICF ethics education team to help rewrite that course and the quiz that went with it. Because I wanted that experience, and I like the fact that it had a beginning and an end. Here's a little note. I told that to my mentor. I said, I volunteered for this because I had a beginning and an end. We didn't know it'd be a year. And my mentor is very smart, said, wow, I have to remember that. Projects that have an end. It was a great experience. If you thought about volunteering with the ICF, it was a great experience. So I did that. I've taught ethics since 2014, 2015 then. And I would say I understand really and truly 15%. Because it's just huge. It's huge. And it's gray. It's almost all gray. So I think I understand it. And somebody go, well, what about this? And I go, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, that's going to impact my decision. So I just offer that by way of, I certainly am not an expert. I'm counting on you sharing your experience. So give me an inkling. Where are you with the subject of ethics? Who'd like to go first?
I can go.
Thank you.
There's one thing I want to just add to the conversation that we had with Mira. And that is, Anne, I think you were part of this, but the how you access all this is that you log in first to your membership. And then the membership portal that you've come into allows you to then recertify every 3 years. And included in that, you know, treasure chest, when you open that up, all the directions are there about how to do XXX, including the 3-hour course. So it's embedded. You don't have to look very far. And I'm smack dab in the middle of recertifying, and they extended it this year. So I was supposed to do it by December, didn't. And then, so there's an additional, you know, things you have to do. So this course is part of my extra things. And I was really impressed with the online course about ethics. And so good job, Anne, and the other gentleman who was, you know, in the videos. It was really insightful. The other thing I wanted to say is that I may be just a tiny little bit of ahead on ethics. And if I had a do-over, I'd probably just focus on that as part of my career, but I don't. But I found that the conversation is imperative, since we are not a licensed professional. In a licensed profession, it's going to probably not be in our lifetime, and maybe it'll never be. I recently attended an ICF chapter meeting that I actually paid for in the New York City chapter. And they had this amazing woman on there around, that's her whole career. That's what she's built her coaching practice on, is making sure the ethics are not only the ICF standard, but the world kind of standard. So I think it's here to stay. I think it's here to grow. And you know, I'm just really happy to be on this call where I'm learning so much as well about this conversation.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Paulina.
So Diana, I have a question for you. And that is, I love the idea that, or the reality that ICF has one place to go to get recertified. So do we get some kind of notice, an automatic notice that it's time for you to, or is it something we have to do, you know, okay, so I was certified in 2021, and so now 3 years later, and I got to mark my calendar.
Yes.
To which?
Both. And so when you got your original certification, there would have been a whole bit of conversation around, you must renew in 3 years. So go back and get your original certificate, and it will say on there something like that. Or there's just more information if you kept any of your records. But the date that you were certified, mine was October. And then so what they do is they kind of give you that bit of time. So my renewal was every 3 years at the end of the year. They try to get you on a calendar year.
So and did they notify you of that?
Huh?
Did they notify you of that?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They kept notifying me.
Right.
And, and I was very diligent about those 3 years because about 2-3 years ago, I was a director of education at my local ICF chapter here in Oregon.
Okay.
I live in Seattle now, but Oregon, Seattle's pretty much the same thing. So,
great. Thank you very much.
Just, you know, it's sort of like you have to be a little bit of project manager on the whole thing. Just keep track. I've got a 3-ring binder with it all in there. So it's like, if I forget anything, it's in there.
Great. Thank you.
Alina, would you like to share just a couple of words, a sentence or two about where you feel you are?
Well, after listening to you, I'd have to say I'm probably between 0 and 5, given that you're the one that helped to create the training, which I took. I just didn't remember that the renewal of my certification was every 3 years. I thought every year I had to do it. So I went out and I took an ethics class, I just took it recently. And so I'm glad for this information. And because I haven't been in conversation with anybody about these particular competencies, I don't know what is missing, you know? Once in conversation, say, yeah, well, what about this or what about that? I haven't had any of that. So on the page, I understand all of it, right? It's a part of what I do. Just, I would have to say at least 80% of it just naturally. And I think that's pretty true for all of us. But when you get down to the details, you know, it's the conversation that really brings it alive.
Yes. Yeah. And other people saying, how about if, and you're going, wow.
Exactly.
Oh, one. Thank you. Thank you. Others. Just where do you think you are in relationship? We've heard from Mara, Paulina, and Diana. Christine.
Really enjoy listening to your comments. Thank you. To be honest, I hadn't really delved much into the ethics until I did my mentor coach training. And then I thought, wow, I really should know more about this. And the more time I spend in them, I think they're wonderful. You know, they're reasonably short, easy to understand. But as you say, you know, applying it sometimes can have some interesting conversations. So I really appreciate them. I appreciate being tied to them. It gives accountability. And I think it's something we attain to, makes us better coaches. So thank you for your hard work on them.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you very much.
So,
Anne.
Yeah, so I studied ethics in master's. And in my doctorate. And then as a hypnotherapist, and then I founded an association. So I had to write ethics for that. And having practiced for 30 plus years, I've seen good people go down for simple little things. And I've had to be witness for some of those. And it's all about what you do in your everyday situation that matters. When you think maybe it doesn't, it does. So it's a matter of stepping back and just keeping yourself centered in your heart and saying, continuously be ethical yourself. And then don't go overboard, because some people have gotten in trouble by codependently taking care of others. And then you're dealing with people who have issues and things go down the tube. So I think ethics is key, but it has to be something you absolutely integrate into you on a daily basis for it to matter. It's not a, It's not just something you learn about. So.
Thank you, Anne. It's integrated into you on a daily basis. Thank you. And this is one of the reasons I love to ask this question. I don't want to find out at the end of the class. We have somebody in the class who's been working on this for decades and has so much to tap into. And as each of you do, because I would like a newer coach and a skeptic and someone experienced and someone very practical and someone from here, and let's all mix it in because we get a wonderful blend then. Thank you. Thank you. Who's next?
Well, I guess I'm last, and I'm going to cover your new coach who is going to have that perspective for this conversation, since I'm the one who only recently had it in training in 2019. And I'll agree with Christine. It's easy to understand on the words on the page. It's the application that's particularly tricky, or can be tricky. And that's why I would love to hear as we go along how best to apply it to stay out of what Anne just described.
Yep. How do we apply it? What does it look like in action? Yeah, thank you. So do we hear from everyone? Something to see it on the written page, it's something else integrating it into our lives. Thank you. For this next part, I'm going to ask you, does everyone have access to the chat? Just to drop in the chat, I asked you to look over the code of ethics and pick a couple of items that were of interest to you. So I'm going to ask you to drop your number one item in the chat. It might be a definition, might be the pledge, it might be standard number 17, anything. Whatever you were most interested in and most attracted to when you looked over that code of ethics, just drop that in the chat. I want to keep track of what you would like to see. And I'm going to get my screen ready here. Yeah. And Christine, you wrote 411. And I want to see, is that standard number 4 and standard?
Yes, so ethical standards number 4.11.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Okay, let me grab my. Okay, we're going to talk about the definition. Is the definition adequate? Love it. Okay. How to apply in our online presence. So, Diana, is that specifically relating to a virtual environment as opposed to in person? Very important, and hence the update since 1995. Zoom just meant getting in the car and going fast. Okay. I'll look up. I am looking for 411. Ethical standard number 11. Am aware of and actively manage any power or status.
Yes,
potential?
That's
okay,
it.
Thank you. That's a fascinating one. I say Isn't that it? About all of them. That one really and truly is interesting. And how many of us have thought before?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, can you tell me what it is again?
Yes, this is ethical standard number 11.
11.
It reads, am aware of and actively manage any power or status difference between a client and me. Very interesting. And some of us think there is no status or power differential.
Mm.
Talk about that. good. Okay. So we have number 11, status and power. We have the code. Is it adequate? Hear about that. How to apply in applications and online coaching, online coaching presence. Okay. And then I think 4.7 and 4.8 refer to standard 7 and standard 8 under section 4. Is that right? 4.7, that was Anne. Standard number 7, maintain, store, and dispose of records. Was that?
Yes, I'm
7. Okay.
And going to be dealing with that. And so there's just lots to think about.
So record storage, 7 and 8.
8 is how you make a change in a relationship if you've had a client for a really long time.
No, 1 second. Record storage and then shift in value. Boy.
Or just, you know, after you've had a client a really long time, sometimes they want to become your friend and things like that.
Yes. Okay. Oh, and Paulina, no problem. Things are going to come up.
Well, I just put in something because I just noticed something that I am a little confused about. So I just put it in. Number three, item 4.
Is number 3
establishes and maintains agreements, and then number 4 under that.
And are we in the code of ethics now? You guys have code of ethics?
Yeah, it's in code of ethics.
Or
is that not right, or do I have the wrong document?
Number 3. There's a standard 3, maintain the strictest levels of confidentiality. There's a standard 4, have a clear understanding.
Right, then I have a problem. I have option. It says the first one is demonstrates ethical practice, or am I in the wrong place? Am I in just a competency model? Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, it's the, okay. But listen, right. Well, but what you were interested there is, uses language that's appropriate and respectful?
No, it wasn't. It was about the, so far, let me, it's partners with a client and relevant stakeholders to establish an overall coaching plan and goals. And so my question is about how to deal with the stakeholders and confidentiality.
Okay, good. We will, yes. Yes, we are going to talk about that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, let me just jot down.
I know I have the, let's see, Dropbox.
All right. Let me go to a handout that I have, and we're going to pick right up with that, Pauline, and we'll work our way back up, because I'd like to share this. Heaven knows what you're going to see. I don't know what. I also have some documents. This one. Here we go. Yay. I got to the page I want. This is a big deal. I have so many things open. I belong to an organization called ACTOW. It's the Association of Coach Training Organizations. And they developed a ethics module that I am able to share with you because I'm a member of ACTOW. Do you think I asked them in writing if I could share that? Let me put the gallery back on. How many of you think I asked in writing if I could share that? Yeah, absolutely. How many of you think I still have the email where they said yes? Absolutely. Okay, so that's me. That's just me. You don't have to do that. That's me. I like this one-page handout because of its simplicity. So I just want to show this to you for for a moment. This is what they identified as the changes, the major changes from the previous code and how it's been updated. That ethics encompasses all persons, support, administrators of coach training, transcriptionists, and those who administer assessments or other evaluation processes. So it specifically says much more inclusive of who is expected to abide by this code of ethics. The second, ensuring no one is invisible. And that means encompassing all others who do not fit the norm. Paying attention to language used and appropriate behaviors to ensure mutual respect and equal treatment. Two more, the impact of technology. We've started talking about this already, that might violate confidentiality and privacy. Smart speakers, personal assistants, online and video conferencing. Again, things that really were just in their infancy when the competencies were first being written or didn't exist at all. And finally, again, this comes under main differences from the 15 to the 2020, a strong emphasis on personal development and coaching supervision at all levels. I'm going to go ahead and share the bottom. These are the points that they figured this is what absolutely should come through in coach training. So they're akin to learning objectives, if you've written those. Understand the importance of maintaining self-regulation and the six ways ICF protects us with our goal to maintain self-regulation.
I don't know what that means.
Being an ethical person means thinking ethically and choosing an ethical path before taking any action. What questions precede action when thinking ethically? How long could we spend just talking about that question? What questions precede action when thinking ethically? Become more aware of all the biases we have and how they impact and influence the coaching partnership. Use personal growth opportunities and coaching supervision to bring unconscious biases to the conscious level where choice exists. And finally, recognize conflicts of interest and how to ethically manage dual roles. So again, this came from ACTOW, Association for Coach Training Organization. This is their take, and I thought it was pretty clear and accurate. And it was one page, which I liked because I thought we don't want to spend days talking about the old and the new, but I hope it gives a lens through which to view what were the updates, what should I pay some attention to, because I would not have heard this in previous ethics training. So let's start what I'd like to, any questions so far? Next, I'd like to take a tour of the ICF website, but any questions? This has been a very good, it's time for a break. It's halfway through the class. I don't have a break buddy assigned, but I'm a firm believer that the mind can only absorb what the behind can tolerate. So if one of you will volunteer each class and be my break buddy, that just means you start waving at me around this time. Why don't we take a 3-minute break, refill your coffee, take a break, come back, and then we will be on the ICF website looking through the resources there. So I will be right here if you have anything, setting up the page. And if you'd like to take a quick break, get up, move around, you are more than welcome.
Christine, I'm sorry, Anne.
Yes.
With Paulina. So I, What is the name of the document that you are working off of?
Let me go back here. Hang on one second. I've gotten away from Zoom. It's the
ICF.
And this,
2019. All right. So I'm sure I had that. Let me just go back. Let's see. Finder. So ICF Code of Ethics. ICF Ethics Access Online. ICF Sample ICF. That's the wrong one. My goodness, it's very strange to me that I have everything but. I said, wait a minute, Code of Ethics. 2. How many sections are in it?
There are 5 sections. The 5th is the pledge.
Okay, good. This is it.
Yay. All right. Perfect. And you can top off your coffee.
Right. All right. Great. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you, Paulina.
All right.
And when you're at a stopping point, I do have a question for you, please.
Yes, I'm ready.
Well, isn't that fabulous? Well, then I'll turn on my video as well. Because I'm Nikki the new gal, and I'm always looking for better options, what I would love to get from you, Anne, and anyone else who's listening who's willing to give it to me, I'm always looking for a better script. Or script is the best word I can use at this point, but I can obviously tailor it, that helps me cover those things that need to be covered, like confidentiality. And when those conditions aren't met, like illegal activity or harming themselves, make it like, what is a good, really quick script that I could start with and then tailor with my folks? I don't have a good one. And would love to get suggestions, please, and thank you.
So what I heard, Christine, I think is the script, meaning what are some examples of the actual verbiage I might use with a client?
Yes, please. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So beyond just the written start of our time together, coaching agreement, but something that, as a reminder, as we get started today, here's a reminder of the confidentiality and things that would fall out of that, such as harming yourself or illegal, that things that I can say that's really quick, that is just a quick reminder as we get started beyond just the written information that's provided during the written coaching agreement, please and thank you.
Absolutely. And my hope is that you have some of those jotted down at the end of today. that a few and next class, because I love what you said. Before we begin, let's talk a little bit about confidentiality. I know we covered it when we started, but I just want to remind you. Dun, 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 dun. Perfect. Except the dun, 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 dun part. But other than that, I'm going to go ahead and so our general topics, and some we'll get to today, some next time. Status and power, is the code adequate? And then, Christine, I added verbiage to share about ethics with clients. Application online, record storage, be conscious and aware of a shift in value, and stakeholders. These are the bigger topics that you've said, this is of particular interest to me. So I want to start looking at some of those online. This is what you see after, and thank you very much. Was it Diana who pointed out, I think, you have to be logged in to see some of this. So when you see, hello, Anne, I'm logged in. And I've simply selected ethics here in the overall toolbar. So ethical standards, we go down to what I call the three boxes. Does everyone give me a little verbal clue? Does everybody see three boxes? Code of ethics, ethical conduct review. Give me a shout.
Yes, I see it.
Yes, yes.
Excellent.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
So this is a good launching point for me. This is where you'll find the actual code. Oh, no, you don't. Because I don't know how to make you go back. Does anybody else have a Mac that does this? Oh, for heaven's sakes.
I had that just happen with Google Chrome. And so now I'm doing everything from the Microsoft browser until I can get that sorted out. I mean, it got big and then you can't get it back.
Yeah, and I it's no problem when I'm not doing this. Okay, we're
so
back.
If you hold the command button and then at the bottom, yeah. And then while you're holding that, press the minus at the top of your bar, it should reduce it, and you press it until you like the size.
Yes, thank you. And it just has a mind of its own, it's crazy. But this is what you'll see. The last screen was the three boxes. Let me go back there because I want you to, hopefully it won't be giant. Yes, so three boxes. I want to spend a little bit of time in the second box. Most of our time will be in the third, the resources, but I want to at least touch on this ethical conduct review process. This is the process when we agree to the pledge at the end of the standards, and we renew our certification every 3 years and send in the money for our certification renewal and agree to this pledge. We are agreeing to abide by the pledge and agreeing to operate within the standards developed by the Ethical Conduct Review Board and the Independent Review Board. So there's information here about that. I want to go down to this report at the bottom. And I just wanted you to see where I got that. Ethics, ethical conduct review process. In case you want to go back, I think these are fascinating. So we're going to look at this conduct review board. And I have it open. Here it is. Now that was fancy. That was very fancy, getting back and forth. What I want to share with you, the whole report's available to you, is this. So now we have an actual look behind the scenes. Does everyone see a pie chart? And it says 2020 complaint summary fact sheet. See
yes.
that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. There were 32 formal complaints. This is fairly new. And by the way, this just covers through the end of March of last year. So this is the most recent report, is the 2020. No, I'm sorry, March of 2020, but this is the most recent report. 32 complaints filed. There's a difference in complaints about an individual coach versus complaints about a coach training organization. They go to two separate places. So of the 32, 7 related to coach training, 17 met the requirements to be reviewed. One of the requirements, one of the primary requirements is, are they a member of the ICF? If they're not a member of the ICF, it goes no farther. They have no jurisdiction. And again, something that sets me apart from coaches that don't operate by an ethical standard, that don't have a body that will review complaints. So if they are ICF coaches, it will go forward. And then there were 8 cases actually administered. I want to talk about the areas of concern. On our list, and confidentiality is such a big topic, I'm not alarmed or shocked that it didn't show up in what we most want to talk about, because confidentiality is a topic over and over and over and over again in coach training. So yay. And there were still almost a third of the complaints about a breach of confidentiality. Also, a little over a third of complaints about not maintaining appropriate boundaries. 20% conflict of interest. Conflict of interest has shown up on every one of these pie charts that I've seen. And then 10% in general business disputes. So again, programs different than individuals. Here's a little bit of information. Not a lot, but I just wanted to show you a few of these so you have an idea. What are some of the topics that rise to the level of review? So again, now I just want to check, because I don't see you all while I have this view. Are we looking at the 2020 ICF IRB complaints on the page you're viewing? Yes, great. Situation one, unclear contracting, unclear expectations. I like to say to folks, I imagine, I don't know for sure, but I imagine if I were to get a phone call, I don't know if it's probably an email from the IRB saying, hey, we've had a complaint and we'd like to talk to you, that one of the first things they're going to ask is, could we look at your coaching agreement that the client signed or reviewed? I would think so, which is why coaching agreements come right after ethics and why so many people are writing. Why not start right there in the coaching agreement? Particularly, remember going back, 10% of these were general business disputes, may or may not be easily solved with something black and white, refund policies, cancellation policies, scheduling, term of coaching. May I see a copy of your coaching agreement? Unclear contracting, confidentiality breaches, false advertising of services. Now in these cases, you'll see the outcome. Sometimes there was a breach, sometimes there was not a breach, and educational opportunities were offered to the coach. Here's one that came up, some status and power. Status and power, number 11. Complaint number 3, use of positional power to push an opinion. I forget who mentioned that, but you may wanna zero in there on at least those standards, 21, 28, use of positional power to push an opinion. In this case, the coach was not found in breach. We're continuing, number 4, unclear contracting, confidentiality, discrimination. In this one, the complaint was withdrawn after a long investigation. Number 5, racially biased, unprofessional, and harmful behavior. Now, in this one, the coach was found in breach of the code of ethics, and a stringent learning plan was co-created. And you can see the learning plans below. Number seven, intellectual property infringement. I showed you some information from a coach training organization. I have permission from that coach training organization to share that with you. I attribute that information to the source from which it came. Intellectual property infringement. Misleading ideas, again, intellectual property infringement. So these are some of the items that came up on the most recent report. Let me pause here. I want to pause and just give you a chance to step back and react. Thoughts on what we've covered so far. Yes, Paulina.
So one of the questions that came up for me as I was listening to you do this last section, is there some kind of a standard coaching contract on the ICF website? And if so, where do I find it?
There are. I won't show you now because it may be covered in the coaching agreement course, and it is available. And there are two. I looked at them recently. And if you haven't looked in a couple of years, they're much more fleshed out.
Uh-huh.
I saw some before that were, I don't know, very short. And these were two, and I believe here, who mentioned sponsors and organizations, I believe these one of the two examples includes those sponsors, organizations, and brings that into the coaching agreement. I think the other one, I haven't looked at them in about a month. I think the other one was coach and an individual, but they absolutely, if you can stick around, Paulina, when we're done, I'll find that. I don't want to go there right now because I try to have everything open.
Yeah.
But when we get to coaching agreements, absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is another free resource for your ICF.
Mm-hmm.
Not free, but it's one of the benefits of being a member of the ICF. Questions on the complaint? Anything surprise you about that? Confirm what you had thought.
I was surprised at 35%. Confidentiality problems. That's kind of astounding to me.
I want to read while I was on the, it must have been right about a year ago. I was teaching this class and someone looked at the code and they said, why is systemic equality listed under the definitions, but it doesn't show up in the standards? And I'm like, I don't know. So I wrote to the people that were very smart and on the ethics education team, and I got an answer from Gurkhan, if you know him, who's done a lot of work for a long, long time on ethics. And he wrote this back, and I want to share it with you. First of all, he said he was thrilled people were reading that because it was really new then. And he said, oh my goodness, people are finding that and provided a bit of a backstory on that. But he was just so pleased that coaches are looking at it and reading it and questioning it. Then he said, if I may add my 2 cents worth. So this is the low number of complaints specific. I've moved away from systemic equality, which brought us Gurkhan into the conversation. Then I asked Gurkhan, I had a question about so few complaints, 32. There are what, 53,000 certified coaches, something like that. ICF certified coaches, 32 complaints and only what did we say, 12 or 17 went forward. This is what Gurkhan said. If I may add my 2 cents, the other reasons it is a low number. Clients do not know about coaching and ethics related with that, and accept whatever is introduced as coaching. Does that scare you a little? That scares me a little. He has 4 bullets. clients do not have a clue there is an ECR process within the ICF, ethical conduct review. They don't know. They just don't know. You can't complain if you don't know. Three, people let it go and do not want to complain. Yeah, that's human. And finally, coaches do not want to have damaged relationships with their coach colleagues who have unethical behavior, thus themselves act unethically. If I know that Frank has ICF logo on his website and he no longer belongs to the ICF, I'm kind of obligated to say something. You know, see it and say something. I'm not kind of, I am obligated to say something or elevate it to somebody else. We're going to talk about that. So these are some reasons why. So we can't quite yet pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, what a lovely low number of complaints. If our clients don't know there's a process available to them to complain. I want to move to a couple of scenarios just to get us in and discussing. We're, as you've probably already figured out, we're not going to start with number one and go all the way through 28. We're going to focus on what you've brought up and what's important. And I'd also like to bring in a scenario or two now to make this a little bit more real. So now we are finding, here we are. Okay. Again, sorry for the, oh no. What a crazy screen. Okay. Can everyone see? I have a blue screen. Do you see a blue screen? A blue slide. Scenarios and dilemmas?
Yes.
Yes.
Please, do I have a volunteer who would read that out loud? And then I'd like you just to take a moment and think about it and we'll discuss. Who'd like to read that aloud for us?
I can.
Thank you.
Scenarios and dilemmas. You are working with a potential client and find out they are part of the LGBTQ community when you see them at the Pride Parade with their partner. You, the coach, have fundamental religious principles you follow and this violates them. Codes to consider, 8, 9, 11, 17, and 25.
Thank you very much. So just sit with that for a moment. Put yourself there. If you want to alter the scenario a little to make it more real or to approach a scenario you've actually experienced, please feel free to do that. This is your client. So here's what I would ask you to consider. These three questions. How will you determine whether you can effectively serve that client? If you decide to coach them, how will you address this conflict? You have an inner conflict. And if you decide not to coach them, how will you handle it? This is a little bit of the gray. Who'd like to share? Any of the three points?
I was just going to say that the first one, I would think to myself, can I hold the client capable, resourceful, and whole? And I guess if my just choosing this scenario, not my own personal perspective, but if I couldn't hold them whole, like genuinely including in my religious context, then I would not coach them.
Open discussion. What do you, I'd like to hear your thoughts on any of these three topics.
It's Paulina. I don't know who was speaking since I can't see anybody, but I agree wholeheartedly that it starts with, can you, you know, relate to this person as a whole, complete, perfect human being, in the sense of, you know, they are the whole, they're whole. And, you know, I come from a deeply religious background, which I do not adhere to. So I know how very difficult it is for others who do adhere to it to not be judgmental about anybody who does not hold their values and views. So it's problematic, and I think there's a lot of soul searching there. And if, you know, the coach is really being honest with themselves and can't hold this person as being whole and equal, then they, you know, shouldn't be coaching them, in my opinion.
And just in case, I was in an ethic, I'm a crazy woman. Just attended a global ICF ethics thing in February. And a scenario like this was introduced in the group I was in. We all went, who the heck cares? So what I'd invite you to do, if you were like, I don't care, switch it so you do. Would a political party switch it for you? Would an age switch it for you? Able, disabled? Switch it to something where you kind of go, I don't know if I want to work with that person. And then ask yourself, okay, can I serve them? How, let's move to the second point. How am I going to address this? Whatever the sticking point is, a political party, gender identification, whatever the sticking point is, how do I decide if I can coach them, and how do I address that in here?
One of the things I'd have to look for in myself is, am I judging?
Let's pause there, because that's such a powerful word. You're judging your client. What's going on there? If I'm not saying you are, Paulina, but you are wise to be on the lookout to keep the judgment out of the coaching session, because what happens when we judge?
Well, we're blinding ourselves to what's really there. You can't help anybody that you're judging, because you can't see beyond your judgment, in my experience.
Yeah. Any thoughts? This is very, it gets increasingly brave. How will you handle it? How will you, if you decide not to, for any reason, to work with a client, how do you handle that ethically?
I can just answer that super quickly. Is that in the introduction, usually when I meet a client, I talk about, I start with, like, coaching is about tapping into your inner wisdom and making the space and to really tap in to what's true for you and support you in forwarding, acting into it. And so to me, at the end of the day, and that's happened only once before, that I just said, you know, I'm not the right fit, because you want a coach that you can trust easily to tap into that. Like, it shouldn't be, they should not be working to do that. And we had a political difference, a very strong political difference. And the person wanted coaching to be more strong. He wanted coaching to become a better politician. So so it wasn't super dramatic, but it's like, yeah, I'm just not the right person. You really need someone who is like, has a lot of energy toward what you want so they can hear your wisdom. To me, it didn't actually feel that dramatic. It was just like, yeah, that's what I did.
Thank you, Mara. Thank you. Anyone else have experience? And of course, you'll protect the confidentiality of those involved, but have an experience saying, no, I am not going to be your coach.
Can I interject here, Anne? Because
yes.
What, as somebody who's new, what I have found is friends and colleagues who have offered to help that know that I'm just learning and wanting to work on my newly acquired techniques. So oftentimes I've had to say no to friends and colleagues that I know for sure wouldn't be able to separate church and state, so to speak. So very similar to what Mara was talking about in terms of saying, you know, it wouldn't be a good fit. I wouldn't be able to separate our friendship, our familial relationships to adequately serve you, but I can find you someone who can and have done that. But I don't know if that's related to what you're talking to or not, so.
Christine, what I love about that is the verbiage. Your verbiage. I don't know if you heard yourself. It was a clear, blame-free explanation that ended with, and I can help you find someone who is a good match. How'd that verbiage sound to you as you were sharing it?
Well, I mean, that's almost exactly what I said to each of them. And it's very natural for me to say that. In extension to those who weren't with us during the break, I was asking Anne for help getting specific verbiage with regards to moving past the written coaching agreement and the reminder at the beginning of each session of the confidentiality and ethical components as we begin each session, if there was specific verbiage. So it's related to that Anne's asking me this, so.
Like to close with that, not close, but we'll close with your takeaways, but we've got about 8-9 minutes. Let's spend a minute or two directly addressing that. Christine, would you phrase that? This was asking for verbiage at the beginning of a coaching session about confidentiality.
Just as do, and again, because I'm new, I'm interested in hearing from some of the other more experienced coaches. If you have a specific phrase or scripting or verbiage that you use at each beginning session, just as a reminder of the limits of the confidentiality and when it falls outside of it, such as illegal activities and harm, do you have something like that you use at the beginning of your sessions? And what is that? Because I would like to find a better way to do that that's appropriate and within the code of ethics.
Well, I would say most clients really prefer to just jump in and they don't want to be reminded of the control issues. You want to access their intuition. You want to access their creativity to come up with their own solutions, right? So if you just told yourself and you could tell them, you know, here they are on my website, this is what works for me. I don't know what anybody else, because I have a blended situation. But which I know people don't like is a blended thing. But if you can direct them to that, and then if they have any questions about that, they can bring them up with to you. But getting people in their analytical mind, like I need to look for a situation where you, the coach, are a problem, I wouldn't want to go there. I would rather direct them to the fact that you're there for them to help them access their goodness. Let's jump into that. That's just my take on it. And I know you want to be ethically correct, but I would say you are an ethical person. You can tell that just by looking at you. So I would go on that assumption. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Anne.
Yeah.
Now who, Thank you, Anne, very much. Other thoughts on this? Something shared? Do you share first session, every other session, periodically?
Maybe I should add, Anne, also, yeah. The reason I'm asking the question is that it's about boundaries, right? We want to set our boundaries, not limitations, because limitations does feel constricting, and the boundaries is what's okay, what's not okay. And for me, making sure that, again, it's a reminder. So your point is well taken, Anne, that maybe it's not necessary to remind her of what that safe container boundary is. So to Anne's point, what would be a frequency that is appropriate as a reminder to say, here are our boundaries, to make sure that you feel empowered within those boundaries to feel safe to share, I guess is where the basis of my question is.
What I do in the beginning isn't, I don't use the word boundaries intentionally. I do point them to, my contract anyway, I point them to the code of ethics on the ICF website. And I do talk about the fact that, I lean on confidentiality, which I know is probably up for my clients front and center. And talk about that there are a number, and now I will talk about the fact that there is a review board and, we take this very seriously, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an introductory thing that I do, but I don't go back to it unless something comes up.
I do want to, we have 5 minutes left and, I do want to allow time for your takeaways. We are halfway through our 3 hours of ethics training, and I hope we'll be back next Monday. We will finish the 3 hours. What are you taking away just from today's conversation? Feel free to drop it in the chat or share verbally. We'll spend our last 5 minutes. What I'd ask you to do between now and next Monday is just simply continue to think about the topic and look for opportunities to explore. No set home play, as the level 2 school I went to, using new terminology, had called it, but just continue to think of this topic. It will show up. It will show up. What is your takeaway? A few words either in the chat. While you're typing that up, Christine wrote back to everyone, thanking Mara. Mara says, my sound bite is, what makes coaching powerful, this is in the chat, is that a coach is more devoted to your agenda than to their relationship with you. Someone else talked about clients wanting to become friends. This one. So what are you taking away from today? I'd like to hear from everyone. I'm going to go back to my attendance sheet. And I put a little mark smiley face. What are you taking away?
I got so much to learn. So bring it on, ladies.
You are not alone. I put in the chat that there's a great deal more for me to learn and explore. That's, this conversation that we had today made that very clear. And so I don't think it has much to do about the fact that you're new. I think it's just, no matter how long you've been coaching, if you haven't made this front and center of the coaching, keeping it in your mind, then it is like, okay, I need to do that and figure out how to do that without burdening the client with it. Right. So it's in behavior. It's not in conversation, right? It's the behavior that I exhibit and how I treat my client that shows whether or not I'm being ethical in my interpretation.
Thank you, Paulina. 2 minutes. What are you taking away?
In the study of ethics, it's really tempting to go down the road of putting everything in a structure. And it can easily take a person out of their heart when you're studying. How do you judge? You're not judging. You know, it gets you into the mind. And so that's just a trap that I've watched over the years. And ultimately, being in your heart is how you are ethical. So it's a tricky study.
Many layers to this, many layers. It starts right here.
Right.
Mara, ethical challenges in real time are often a function of your coaching niche. I love that. I look forward to that. Diana, takeaway, continue to learn and absorb that deep coaching requires deep study. Deep coaching requires deep study. And application regarding ethics. Christine, I'm surprised there are so few complaints around ethics, so few clients. No, yes, thank you. Thank you, Gurkhan. Well, there's some in the chat. Have we heard from everyone? Yes, okay. So we will have more scenarios, more information on the ICF website next Monday. I hope you will join us then. I'll stick around if you have any questions. I know someone was looking for something on the coaching agreements. If you'd like to coaching agreements, if you have a few minutes, we can look for that. But I thank you for being here and hope you'll be back next Monday. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.